Welcome back, Richard. It's good to see you this morning.
Good morning. Happy March.
And happy March to you as well.
Yeah.
The months are flying by. But yes, we're into the last few months of the school year. It's almost spring break. Time is going by fast.
Hey, there. Speaking of which, there are two important announcements today. I guess we're becoming like a news program. I think this is like we should be a news program. Updates, two updates.
Yeah.
Daylight
Savings time.
savings time starts next week. The controversial issue of daylight savings time starts next week. So get ready to adjust your schedule. Your kids are not going to want to go to bed because it's daylight. So get ready for that. Second thing is, did you see the new CDC guidelines?
No.
No longer necessary to quarantine for 5 days.
Okay.
If you're fever free without medication, go out there and enjoy. Go out. It's okay to go out. So for parents in particular, because the rules have changed, for the rules in the workplace will change. So it was announced yesterday that the guidelines have changed and that the 5 day quarantine, 5 day quarantine is no longer necessary.
All right.
COVID is going to be treated like a virus. Having said that, there's another article that appeared about 2 weeks ago. The elderly are dying at increasing rates from COVID. So COVID is continuing to be a lethal disease for the elderly. Now, there are thousands of elderly residents dying of COVID. So if you have elderly parents or relatives or friends, be very careful with these new guidelines. If you have children and they're in school or you're in the workplace, the 5 day restriction is being lifted. So keep that in mind. You may want to take a look it up and see how that's going to affect you.
All
Okay.
right. Well, there's your
All right.
live updates, hot off the press.
You heard it here first.
And what's funny is updates that really are not related to the topic that we're going to talk about today, because our
No,
topic.
they're not related at all, but I thought, well, this is a good way for or keep our listeners abreast of what's going on.
Absolutely. But our topic today is related to relationships, and we're going to talk about couples today, and what we're going to refer to as the kryptonite of marriage, and that is the big R of resentment. And oh man, anytime I'm working with a couple, or even working with an individual that's talking about their marriage or their relationship, and they use the word resentment, or they're becoming resentful of their spouse, it always makes me take pause, because that is a really, really challenging issue to manage. And so we're going to talk about that on the podcast today.
Right. If you're a therapist, if you do couples therapy, or if in a relationship, resentment can be an incredibly important and destructive element in that relationship. And we often find ourselves, I do at least, and I'm sure you do too, and couples come in and they're working on their problems, trying to resolve their issues, solve their problems. And one or the other will say, well, I just put up with it because it's not worth fighting over, or I just accept it. My first response is, you can do that. You can overlook it, you can accept it, but you are going to become increasingly resentful
Right.
of having to do that or having made that decision. Yes, it works in the short term. Yes, you avoid conflict. But the resentment, that quiet resentment, is going to build over time. And it's the resentment that's going to damage your relationship. So we urge caution when you say, well, I can just accept it. I can just accept this inequity. I can just accept this neglect or whatever you're accepting. But the resentment will grow and it will damage your relationship.
Absolutely. And we've talked before, not too long ago, we had a podcast where we talked about the different stages of a
Right.
relationship and of a marriage. And at each stage, there are you know, ample opportunities, we'll say, for one or both of the people in a marriage or a relationship to become resentful. And, right. you know, that could be, as you just said, you know, inequality, like the unequal distribution of labor, you know, one or both of the individuals feeling as though they're not really appreciated by the other person, or feel like they're being taken advantage of or ignored, you know, and maybe most importantly, at least from what I see with a lot of people, just the way in which they talk to each other sometimes right. can build so much resentment and so much just negative emotion toward each other that that it can become destructive. You know, it can really erode and you know, take away a lot of the, you know, just the pure positive emotions, the positive feelings that you have about your partner.
That's right. That tone of voice, you know, I had one of the partners in a relationship say, well, that tone of voice, it's about that tone of voice. And that's, you know what that tone means. That tone means I don't respect you. You have no value to me. And so those are the issues that creep into every relationship. And if you don't deal with them, if you don't have a way, if you have a relationship and you don't have a way of dealing with these things, they are going to gradually erode your relationship.
Absolutely.
I don't want to. And so that's why we call it the kryptonite, because eventually it's going to get there.
Absolutely.
So in today's podcast, we want to talk about how, if you're in a relationship, how do you deal with resentment before it becomes destructive?
Absolutely.
That's what we're going to talk about today. There's another part of this is what do you do if resentment is already damaging your relationship and you've been doing it for years and years and years, and resentment has already caused a serious fissure, a serious crack in your relationship? That may require a different approach. But today we want to talk about how do we deal with resentment before it becomes destructive?
Absolutely. So the first thing is, and you kind of alluded to it a moment ago, but it is, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing when you have a couple and they're talking about how, you know, I try not to focus on any negative feelings or any bad feelings about anything. But in while that's great sometimes on occasion and everything, we need to resist the urge to continue to just ignore bad feelings, because the more you ignore it, it just kind of, it's sort of like that little rust spot that's at the, you know, on the undercarriage of your car. And if you don't address it, it just spreads. And so, you know, when something comes up, when there's an issue that comes up, you have to find a way to address the problem. Now, you don't want to do it when you're really angry or in the moment of like all these high emotions and everything that's going to turn into a big argument or big fight or anything like that. You don't have to do that, but those issues have to be addressed, because otherwise
right.
it's just going to fester and create a problem.
Yeah. I'm one of the worst. I think I'm probably conflict avoidant, you know, but you have to brave, we call it, you have to brave the discomfort.
Yeah.
You just have to, you know, sort of put your armor on and deal with the problem, address these problems, because if you don't, they are going to be that rust, that gradually creeping rust. If you are conflict avoidant, get some help, get some counseling, talk to somebody about it. How can I overcome my urge to avoid conflict? Okay. Because if you do, yeah, you'll avoid the conflict, but you will allow resentment to creep into your relationship.
Absolutely. Now, the second thing is, and I really like this recommendation. It's something that my wife and I, we do, we try to do on a regular basis, and that is to hold regular check-ins. And what we mean by that is, you know, this can be a monthly thing. This can be a biweekly thing or a quarterly thing, whatever you want it to be, but on a somewhat regular basis, you guys sit down and just, where are we? How are we doing? What's happening in our relationship? Are there things that are going, what kind of things are going well? what kind of things do we need to work on? What kind of things are bothering each of us? But have those times where when everybody is calm, it's scheduled, it's routine, it's not in the moment, in a heated moment, it's not during a time when there's any problems, but it's just at a time when you can sit down and you can discuss some of these things and you know, look and see how the relationship is going.
Right. I'm working with a couple now. They've been married about a year. And it's they need to introduce that into their relationship. They don't do it. They have a pretty good relationship, but they do need a time when both of them is calm, when they're both calm, and they can sit down and talk about their issues rather than fighting through them as they erupt, that they take time. So I'm going to encourage them to. How often do you do that in your relationship? You do it?
We try to do it at least once a month. Yeah, we try to do it once a month. But, certainly if there's times when, when we're both really busy and so she's busy doing her things and I'm busy doing my things and we just feel like there's a little bit of a space growing between us, okay, let's get together, let's talk about this and what's going on and where are we?
Yeah, many people talk about having a date night. Many couples have a date night, and this would be a good thing to do on your date. You say, well, what do you talk about? Typically, you talk about the kids on a date night, but maybe you ought to use your date night as the time when you have these regular check-ins and say, how is our relationship going? You know, are there any issues, that we should talk about? Do it in a public place so you don't have a fight, go out in public so that you don't have an argument.
And when you have these, and this is the sort of the next strategy, when you have these discussions or anytime you're talking about things, try to use I statements. We have a tendency when we are struggling with something to, you keep doing this. You never seem to never appreciate what I do. Instead, we need to say, make I statements. Talk about your own feelings and your own experience. Something like, I feel angry when I don't feel like I'm getting very much attention. I feel frustrated, or I feel, we're drifting apart because we're not spending as much time together. Have I done something to upset you? Is there something that I can do to make this better? So, because you can't change the other person. The other person, that's their responsibility. So all you can really do is address how you're feeling. Don't project feelings onto them. You seem to love it when I'm angry. You seem to be so happy when you do this kind of stuff. Don't project things onto them. Let them talk about them, but you talk about yourself. What are you feeling and experiencing?
That's right. And remember, you're giving this, you're telling somebody who should be the most important person in your life. Mm-hmm. And you're saying to that person, and presumably you're the most important person in his or her life. And you're saying to that person, I feel this way. I'm hurt. I'm troubled by this. That should mean something to your partner. Mm-hmm. I mean, if my partner came up to me and said, I'm really feeling neglected, I'm really feeling sad, that would matter to me.
Right.
And it should matter. And I should want to do something about that. If not, then there's another problem that has crept into your relationship. But an I statement should produce in your partner the desire to make some kind of a change so that you are starting to feel better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The next strategy, number four on our list here, is to resist the urge to keep score. And how many times do people argue and they'll say, this is the fourth time, or this happens every day, or people will talk about, I'll even have patients that I'm working with talk about, I just kind of hold on to that. I'm holding on to that so that, the next time we have a discussion, then I'm going to bring it up and I'm going to address it. There are so many reasons that that's unhealthy, that it's hard to count. No, don't just leave important things on the table. Don't just pocket things with the intent of using them later. Again, that's where the resentment comes from. Whenever there's a conflict or a problem, work to resolve that conflict to some resolution that has actionable goals, that has measurable outcome that you can look at and say, all right, we are making some improvement here.
Right. Invariably
out there and hope that it's just going to fix itself.
Yeah. Invariably, couples will say, well, we fight about the same thing every time. Okay, that means that you're not resolving the conflict.
Right.
I mean, if you're fighting about the same thing over and over again, that issue needs to be resolved because that's going to continue to do damage in your relationship. You're going to continue to be resentful. You have to resolve it completely. We talk about leaving money on the table. Don't leave problems on the table.
Right.
Take a problem and resolve it to everybody's satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've resolved it, forgive the other. When the conflict is over, when the resolution has finally been reached, you have to find it in yourself to forgive and forget and move on. Many people, many partners will sort of keep some of that. They'll keep those embers going and they'll use it as ammunition when that problem comes up again. Well, that problem shouldn't come up again. But if that's the first problem, is it shouldn't keep coming up. You should resolve it. But also, you don't want to use it as ammunition for the next time that the battle's going to be fought.
Absolutely.
Don't use this stuff. Don't weaponize these things.
Absolutely. And you know, the way that's done, and Richard, I'm sure you've heard people say this, is they will say that they have forgiven and that they're moving beyond, you know, problem A. But what happens is when problem B comes up, they'll say, it is just like with problem A. He never does, but you never. And so, yeah,
right.
These embers are still burning there. You're not
mm-hmm.
addressing them fully to the point where you can leave that behind and move on. Problem B is a new problem then. Let's deal with problem B
right.
instead of reflecting.
Because, right, you know, we talked about the stages of marriage a couple of weeks ago, the seven stages of marriage. And if you don't resolve these problems in stage two,
mm-hmm.
You're going to bring them to stage three, and they'll have a different effect. They will have an effect. They'll have a different effect at three. If you don't resolve it at three, it's going to be a problem in four.
Right.
So that recurring problem will cause damage at each stage of your relationship.
Right.
So put the embers out, put the fire out completely, and then don't use, forget, forgive, and don't use it as ammunition for later battles.
Absolutely. No,
you know, this is just like what you did 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
No, you don't use it as a weapon.
Yeah.
Right.
So that means that those embers have been burning for 10 years or more. So now
that's right. That's
the next strategy, number five, is to make sure, and this is also really important, is to acknowledge and validate your partner's emotions. You know, sometimes we get so focused on ourselves, and yes, you know, we just talked about using I statements and talking about how you're feeling and everything. But when you say things, when you're, maybe more importantly, when your partner uses I statements and says something back to you, it is important to validate and to hear them. You know, I hear you saying that you're feeling like I'm neglecting you because I haven't spent much time with you and because I've been spending so much more time at work. And, you know, I really am sorry that that's happening, that I'm, you know, not spending as much time with you, but I'm acknowledging and I'm validating. I can understand how you could feel that way. I can understand how my actions could have led to you to believe that. And here's how we can have a solution to it. It's not difficult. It just requires you to listen.
You know, we all want to be heard and we all want to be understood. I think it's just part of being human. If you go to your partner and your partner doesn't hear you, or your partner doesn't make an attempt to understand, doesn't acknowledge your feelings, you're going to go someplace else and share those feelings with somebody else. And
right.
That's what we mean about, you know, resentments, it creates a resentment. You say, well, if you're not going to listen to me, if you're not going to hear me, then I will go someplace else where I will be heard, where my feelings will be acknowledged. So we have to be really, really careful. And both, we are all guilty of this. We don't listen. You know, once again, I said earlier, this is the most important person in your life. And if you're not attuned, if you're not hearing, if you're not listening to the most important person in your life, then there's something fundamentally wrong here.
Right.
You must acknowledge the worst thing you can say. We did a podcast a few weeks ago about the eight things you never say. And one of the eight things is you shouldn't feel that way. I don't understand why you feel that way. No, you have to hear what they're saying. You have to try to and acknowledge and validate your partner's emotions. Because if you don't, they're going to take those someplace else. And I can tell you, you don't want that to happen.
Absolutely. I was working with a teenager the other day, and just from some of the things he's going through, he said, you know, was talking about how sometimes people feel like he's annoying. And he says, well, you know, you don't think I'm annoying, do you? And I paused and I was thinking, and after a moment I said, no, not always. And he goes, man, that was a long pause. And I said, well, I wanted to think to make sure that I gave you a truthful answer. And he stopped for a moment and really thought about that. And he was like, yeah, well, thank you. You know, because sometimes we don't really listen and take a moment to think about what the person is asking us or saying to us. And instead we try to respond very defensively, or we try to respond in a way that's like, well, you know, to make sure that we're being heard, instead of making sure that we're hearing the other person first and providing a good, honest, you know, meaningful response. And and you know, hopefully that was a good modeling for that guy to be able to take home into his other relationships and stuff. But you know, you have to make sure you're listening, and you want to listen more than you talk. And that does lead us to number six, which is, when you're in these conversations, when you're having a conversation or dealing with something with your partner, you need to have some level of curiosity and compassion. You know, you have to be, you know, this is your partner. And you've said it several times now. This is supposed to be the person that you care about most in the world and who cares about you most in the world. And if that's the case, you should really want to hear what they have to say. You should really be curious as to how they're feeling and what you can do to help them feel better. So you have to listen to work and understand where they're coming from.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, imagine this scenario, and I think we have probably all experienced this, is you go to your partner and you're trying to tell them how you feel. You're sort of taking this risk to tell them how you feel. And the person is only half listening. You know, you're sort of only half listening to your partner. And I'm sure that somewhere it creeps in to say, you're too busy to listen to me.
Right.
You're too busy. I'm trying to open my heart to you, and you're too busy playing a video game or watching TV, or you're too tired. What message does that send? You know, and that's where the resentment comes in. Say, okay, I won't share this with you, but there's that resentment. No, we're not going to have a conflict. We are going to have resentment.
Right.
Not a good trade.
The Gottmans, the John and Julie Gottman, who are the sort of the experts when it comes to marriage and relationships. They call it turning toward. You know, when your partner expresses something, you know, do you turn and you acknowledge what they're saying, and you take that moment to pause? And even if you say, just a second, honey, I'm in the middle of something, give me a second, and so I can listen to hear what you're saying, you know, but acknowledging and listening to what they're saying. So number seven,
we talk about the seven stages of marriage. And you know, in the first stage, the honeymoon stage, it's like I hang on every word. You know, she just, I'll listen, and I'll listen. I'll hang on every word because I want this to work, and I want you to be in my life, and you are the most important thing. And I will hang. I will just listen intent. Well, you should be saying the same thing at stage four and five. This still should be the most important person in your life, and I'm going to hang on every word, no matter what stage you're in.
Okay. Right. Now, related to that, with number seven, is showing appreciation and gratitude. You know, so often, and it's again related to exactly what you were just saying, so often we just take for granted that what they're saying, what they're doing. We take our partners for granted. We don't show them the same level of appreciation that we did before. And that can, again, kind of weigh and start to erode some of those, some of that emotional connection. And again, introduce some of that resentment. You know, man, I come home every day from work and I do this every day. And before, she was always very grateful and happy, and she would, you know, at least tell me that she appreciated it. And now I don't hear any of that, you know, and now it's just taken for granted that I'm going to do it. That can be hard for people.
Right. That's another huge problem, is that we just take each other for granted. We've been together for 10 years or 20 years, 12 years, and we just start to take each other for granted. And, well, that's just what you do. We had family, we live in Florida, so you always have people visiting. And we had visitors recently, and one of the couples has been married for, I think, yeah, they will celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary next year. So they've been married for almost 50 years, and which means they probably have survived all these wars. But as I watched them, they were cooking a meal. And when they talked to each other, you would hear, "Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart," or, "Are you okay?" Or, "Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you." "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you weren't finished yet." They're still apologizing to each other. They're still thanking each other. And I thought, that's why they've been married for 50 years. They talk to each other as though they're still in the honeymoon phase. It's not gushy and gooey, but they acknowledge each other's feelings constantly. And they're not, and it's genuine. And, and you know, one of them will start to talk, and if they interrupt, say, "Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart, I didn't realize you were finished." This is after 50 years of marriage. That's why they're still married, because they're still acknowledging, showing appreciation, showing gratitude for everything that they do.
Absolutely. Now, number eight, the last one that we're going to talk about today, is taking some time and taking a moment just to reflect on your own feelings and needs. You know, it's similar to things that we've talked about before with boundaries. Only you can enforce and maintain your boundaries. Other people can't do that. And it's the same with resentment. Your partner can't take away the resentment. Now, your partner can do things to sort of address issues that have maybe contributed to the resentment, but it really does fall on you. It falls in your lap to do the work that you need to do to resolve and alleviate that resentment from your mind and your heart and how you're feeling about your relationship. And I think that the most important component of that is you have to want to. You know, Richard, you too have probably met with families or couples where one of the people is feeling resentment, and they don't even seem like they want to stop feeling resentful. They just want to hold on to those emotions and those feelings. It's like the partner is doing everything he or she can to address the concerns and issues that they have, but they just want to stay angry and they just want to stay resentful. With their partner, thinking that the partner is going to magically do something that's going to make it all go away. But no, that falls on you. So you need to take some time to reflect on your own feelings and needs.
Yeah, I'm angry. I'm resentful. I resent what you've done to me, and I'm going to stay angry, and I'm going to make you, I'm going to be as angry as possible so that maybe you'll change. That's not how this works.
Right.
If your partner can't alleviate your resentment, nothing you do, whatever you do, you have to examine yourself. What are the issues in your life? What are you doing? What are you bringing to the relationship that might be contributing to the relationship problems? And frequently we don't do that. We're so focused on what our partner is or is not doing, that we forget that we're also contributing to the problem. I can assure you, you're contributing to the problem. Even if you say, "I'm not doing anything to contribute," you are still not resolving the issues.
Right.
And that's, we get caught in these traps. It's like, "I'm not doing anything to create this problem." That may well be, but you're also not doing anything to resolve the issue that's causing whatever problem exists.
Right.
Okay. So either way, you have the responsibility to reflect on what you are or are not doing that might be contributing to the relationship problem.
Absolutely. And as you said at the outset of this podcast, you know, that kind of brings us into a topic perhaps for another podcast, maybe next week or in the coming weeks, to talk about what happens when there's already some resentment, because that does take some other steps, that takes some other considerations to have to deal with the resentment, that once it's already there, you can't just prevent it anymore because it's already there. So
that's right, because when you start couples therapy, you know, you always, the first question is, do you want to stay together? And whenever one of the other persons in the relationship says, well, I'm not sure that I want to stay together, now you know that the resentment has caused damage. Mm-hmm. And that's going to require a different approach. You're not going to prevent it anymore, but you have to fix whatever's broken. That's a different approach is needed if resentment has already done damage.
Absolutely. So that will be a topic for another podcast. But, you know, look at these eight things. There's a link in the show notes to an article that kind of goes through some of these things and some other considerations as it relates to resentment and preventing it from creeping into your relationship. But we will certainly talk more about this as we move forward and deal with resentment that is in relationships. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. It for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.